Man, the last time I was with you was back in 2019. I think it was right before the shutdown. Got to come and do the breakfast with y'all. It's good to be back with you. So some of you know, I pastor the men's ministry at Salem Heights Church, but I also pastor the Addictions Victory Group the Most Excellent Way. And we've been doing that since 2012. And part of my heart to want to start a Most Excellent Way at Salem Heights Church, the Addictions Victory, was because I come from addiction. I got saved out of addiction in 1987. I got saved as an addict. Then ended up at Salem Heights Church, and in that, I met that young man that's about to speak to you. In the early 90s, him and his gang used to come to our youth group and cause trouble every Wednesday. Like literally, pulling knives, causing trouble. I walked through a lot with Matt Massaro, who you're going to hear from. I walked through his addictions. He made himself crazy on drugs. And his criminality, the different things that he walked through for 20 years of me witnessing to him and coming alongside him, I've watched God. There's miracles in this room, by the way, fellas, right now. There's miracles in this room. And one of them's about to speak to you. But the reality is I walked through his brother killing himself with him. I walked through him shooting himself. I walked through many things with this young man. I can't even go into it all with you, but it's a miracle that we get to do this. And I'm telling you right now, what he's about to speak, these are answered. It's an answer to prayer. I used to say to him, what if you give your life to Christ and a year from now your life's completely different? What if 5 years from now we're doing ministry together, Matt? Yield to Christ today. And in his stubbornness, he would say, unless God does this for me, I won't follow him. And then one day, God got a hold of his heart and everything changed. So I want to introduce to you a man that I've watched grow from that darkness. He verbally said, I was addicted to stupid. And then God changed my heart. Hey, come up here, brother. Yeah. It's good to be back with you guys.
Awesome. It's true, fellas. I was addicted to stupid. I was at the top of the sign-up sheet, and I'm having people come with me, but they're like, don't you know what could happen? Absolutely. This is going to be great. And it was all bad. It was absolutely terrible. And so, you know, we're going to get into the Word today. And, you know, as and, you know, the hope is that when we all leave here today that, you know, you know, you're feeling satisfied and fulfilled by way of the truth of God's word and being able to share, you know, because there's a couple of examples of men in these verses, right? And I'm poised here today in Jeremiah 17 to kind of walk through, and I'm at a point in life where I should have larger print, so if I get in here like this, don't worry, it's okay, in 5 and 6, but I definitely want to start with prayer, that the Lord would just lead and guide our time this morning. So let's go to the Lord. Lord, we just humbly come before you this morning, just so thankful for this time with all the fellas here, and that you've even made something like this possible, Lord, to draw us up and out of darkness and transfer us into your Son's, your beloved Son's kingdom of light. Maybe there's people here today that were invited that don't know you. I'm not beyond begging you, those of you that are in the audience today, to be reconciled to God the Father. So we'll definitely share the gospel. And so we just trust you, God, and we love you and we praise you and ask that you lead and guide in every moment for your glory. Amen. Amen. So in these passages here, you know, it's really clear what it looks like when people trust in man and mankind. And the word says this, Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord, for he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes and in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. And I'll read through 7 and 8 too. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. And as I think about this, you know, because I've got a great deal of experiential knowledge for what it looks like to live in that uninhabitable land, because based off of my activities, my decisions, my choices, my sin, it would have appeared to anybody that was watching my life as if I enjoyed living in the stony wilderness, because I made that my dwelling place for a significant portion of my life. And well, it was all my life leading up to the moment of being reconciled to God the Father through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then for about 11 years of my walk with the Lord. So I've known Pastor Matt for, you know, he mentioned he's walked through a bunch of years with me since the early 90s. And, you know, I was born into a household that was all about pride and seeking self. My dad was a gang leader within the Latin Kings. He was one of the most ruthless Latin gangs in the world. He was a murderer, killed somebody in front of me and my brother before we were 10 years old right next to us. And after he took the life of that man, he took us to the store and bought us some candy. So I'm just giving you a glimpse here, you know, of what normal looked like for us, which is not normal. And it wasn't normal for most people that were operating in that world either, because of the level of criminality and what our dad was involved in. So, you know, I spent 27 years in the drug world. My dad started letting me drink at about 8 years old. And then 11 years old, I started using crank, which was like the precursor to methamphetamine. And that's the first year I got stabbed, was at 11 years old. Somebody stabbed me in the leg. I pulled the knife out and stuck it in his stomach. And I acquired 14 knife wounds in the 27 years I had in the drug world, and 2 gunshot wounds. And one of those, as Pastor Matt had mentioned, and this is while I'm in control of my life, right? You know, so if I'm in control, this is what's happening, and this is where I'm living, is in the stony wilderness and in the land of salt without inhabitant. But it just so happens that, you know, I was able to make that my dwelling place. And one of those gunshot wounds was me feeding my addiction. Some of those knife wounds were too, you know, because I was just as addicted to that the violence as I was all the mind-altering substances. And so I'd taken a pistol and, you know, researched how to not hit the artery, because I'm totally addicted to painkillers on top of a bunch of other stuff. And I'd burn my bridges everywhere because I'm overusing them. So I take my pistol, I pull the trigger because I'm getting pills and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get them. And then I almost die on the operating table. He's there with me through that process. And that's me trusting in myself. You know, the opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. I was trusting in my own understanding, which led me to making these decisions. And I was, you know, it was all about me. And I was amazing, right? Not really. But like, people were like, you know, I was super arrogant, super prideful, spend some time with somebody, and then tell them, you're welcome. For what? That you were able to be in my presence today. You know, that's where sin took me. My dad says you're going to get respect. It's either going to be for who you are or for what you're going to do to a person. And that's how I was raised, you know. And this might be foreign language, you know, because my favorite testimony is the person that grew up in the church, surrendered their life to the Lord, and lived for him forever. And the description of that fella is also in these passages, which what I get to live out now, which even makes it possible for me here to be here with you all today. But when I'm trusting in myself, nobody's thankful, especially society. Because what do I want to do today? Whatever I want. And that's what's right. you know, and the depths, and the there was no limits. I was sharing with some brothers here today, how do, you know, people would be like, how do you know when you've hit rock bottom? Well, I asked for a shovel because there's got to be something a little bit deeper. I don't want to miss out on anything. You know, I'm addicted to more. What do you got? I just need a little more than half of it. And so this is, you know, this is what I've lived out for so many years. 11 years of my walk with the Lord, too, was me going back to the vomit, tasting of the goodness of the Lord, and then thinking it might be a good idea to go back and pick up 14,000 more needles, you know? And ultimately, you know, the Lord interceded in the midst of all those moments. And you know, I just think about it as I'm standing here and sharing with you. It's amazing that I get to do this today, because I'm under no self-induced illusions of who I am outside of our Savior. I'm absolutely the cursed man, and it's on display for all to see. When I'm in control of my life, I got the marks all over my body. They're reminders for me every day of what happens when I put my trust in mankind. And mankind is right here. It's not just this. It's right here. Mankind is right here. Me putting trust in myself, faith in myself, is trust and faith misplaced. And that's really for all of us. You know, and I don't know what anybody's coming in here with this morning. We've all got stuff. There's nobody that's an exception to that. It's just a matter of what it looks like for each one of us, right? You know, and whose heart turns away from the Lord? I knew the Lord, and my actions, you know, caused me to turn away from Him, to be in a constant state of grieving the Spirit of God every day. I remember Pastor Matt continuing to reach out to me in the midst of that, right? And it did literally lead me to a place of living on the streets where my feet were rotting off my body, you know, because I'm sleeping in bushes, I'm sleeping in bus stops. Again, had tasted of the goodness of the Lord and made the decision to think that maybe there, I missed out on something. And about 7 years ago, I called Pastor Matt, and somebody had sold me some rock salt. And people didn't really rip me off, because I'm willing to try and take somebody's life over the smallest offense. And I said, I don't even know what this looks like, but I'm all in. And I didn't even know what that looked like. And I thought I could dabble for a little bit longer, right? Because me trusting in my own thinking, my own understanding, led me to the place of, I'm going to show up to group. I'm going to show up to the Most Excellent Way on Monday. I'm going to come with my needles and my methamphetamine in my pocket, and I'm going to be able to do that every once in a while. I'm going to be able to dabble, right? Because that totally made sense to me. And I'm thankful that, and that's what happens when I'm operating on my own understanding. I can justify and redefine anything, you know. But getting to that place, you know, that really gets the man down here to verse 7 and 8. What am I willing to let go of for the furtherance of the gospel? And what am I willing to go through? And at that point in time in my life, I had proved what I was willing to go through for the furtherance of the gospel, and it was nothing. And I had proved what I was willing to let go of for the furtherance of the gospel, and it was also nothing. Like, I want to all in is I'm going to show up, but I still want to be able to hold on to this. Even though, and super thankful that God revealed to me, yeah, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. And I'm positive if it, and he knew that it was gonna bring me to my knees. So, about 7 years ago was the last time that I ever used methamphetamine. Here in a few months, 10 years no alcohol this month. And society's thankful for that. Because alcohol for me goes hand in hand with multiple felonies. You know, that's where it's always going to end up. And so, and then 7 years, no cigars. You know, I used to have a flourishing cigar business, did business all over Latin America, all over Northern Europe, hand-carved briar pipes, professional tobacconist. And but that also opened up doorways I was also familiar with because I was licensed through the ATF to import from out of the country, which opened up those doorways that I was already familiar with to bring other things into the country and hurt people because I was really good at hurting people, myself and everybody around me. And I think it's really important, you know, as the Lord has just continued to impress on my heart with you all here today, our state, our nation, this city. I used to come to Roseburg and bring things down here that would hurt people and then take things away from here that would hurt people. That was a really long time ago. I was in high school when I was doing that, you know. And so I get to come back here today and share a message of hope that will never disappoint, because the only reason I'm able to even stand here today is because God loved me so much, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How is somebody saved? Belief on the gospel. One way, one truth, one life. Who is it that says that? One way to the Father? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And who does he continue to keep entrusting himself to? Right? In his humanity, we even see a moment, oh Lord, let this cup pass from me. But how is that prayer ended? Not my will, but your will be done. Is there anything that anybody in here is holding on to that the Lord is going, I really want it. I want that. I want to remove that. And I've got something amazing to put in its place. You know, are you, are we, am I trusting God completely with every area of life? With every area of life. Because we see the results of that if we are, right? You know, and we also, it's also on display if we're not. You know, so taking that personal introspection, that personal inventory, and asking us ourselves those questions every single day, because Jesus does, like we've got a perfect example in our Savior. You know, he keeps entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously, right? He keeps entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously, you know? And I definitely have to encourage each and every one of you to continue to do the same thing. You know, we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And it's all about him, not about me. When it's all about me, like I've said, nobody's thankful. And I could really delve into that so much more. Guys, it was terrible. I loved stabbing people. And that's what happens when I inhabit this wasteland. You know, I want to see and feel the physical response in another human being when I put a knife in him. And God's removed all that. And today I get to stand here willing to let go of anything for the furtherance of the gospel, and willing to go through anything. And that would always be followed up, so it's not just vocalized, but followed up with action. And how is that possible? It's not by my strength, because I'm weak and needy. You know, and that's not necessarily traits you want to find in friendship. Like if I come up to any one of you fellas, hey, I'm weak and I'm needy, you want to hang out? It's not really a thing, you know? But in the context of God's word, in our weakness, his strength is perfected. In our neediness is because we are desperately in need of our Savior every single moment, every single second of every single day. I need him more now than I did when we started eating breakfast this morning. And that would never change, that we never get to this place where we would say, man, I've got it figured out. I don't really need him anymore. if that moment takes place, we're moving back into the, you know, the salty wasteland that is without inhabitant. You know, but that we would continue to grow up in our faith while never losing childlike faith. To believe God at His word in every moment, in every second, in every breath. You know, and we see that, you know, I've got a couple, like there's so many scriptures that, you know, connect to this. But in Psalms 146, it says, "Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation." Well, let's just read that again. Psalm 146, verse 3. "Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation." What do you guys think about that? I believe it's great wisdom from the Lord. So it's, I'll remove the word believe and go, I know that's great wisdom from the Lord. You know, and another portion here in John 3, there's a reason Jesus Christ entrusts himself to no person, right? There's a reason. In verse 24, it says, "But Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." Trust and faith rightly placed is in our Savior. Anywhere else, an honest statement is it's we're missing the mark. Putting our trust in any person, like I proved over and over and over what my best is. That's why when I'm working and coming alongside other fellows now, and they're like, "I'm doing my best," and I try, you know, it's, some of the time it's not appropriate, but every once in a while I'll chuckle, and I just want to gently grab them by the arm, gently, and look them right in the eye and go, "Please, please don't do that. You've proven what your best is over and over and over again. That's why we're having this conversation." Just like I did. Let God do His best. You know what I mean? And so it's saying surrendered, submitted, and obedient to the God of all creation every single day. Not in some areas of life, because, fellas, there is no thin line between living and walking by means of the Spirit of God. There's no riding a fence. It's not a thing. You know? Conformity to the world is to then reposition ourselves in opposition, you know? And if I'm trusting in myself, I'm putting myself in opposition again to the God of all creation who rescued me through faith in His Son. And I did it for a long time. I know what a compromised life looks like. I lived it out. I lived it out, and there's nothing worth holding on to. There's nothing worth holding on to and letting go of everything is worth it. You know, so weigh in those costs every day. What are you willing to go through for the furtherance of the gospel? What are you willing to go through for the furtherance of the gospel? And this is, again, not within our strength. It's through the strength and power that God provides, which has no limit and no end. And that's where you find the man who is blessed because he is trusting in the Lord and his trust is the Lord completely. In every area of life, he's trustworthy. He's immutable, which is part of his nature. He's unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know how many promises he takes away from people? Yeah, you really have, you've gone wayward. I'm taking my promise from you. The one where I said I will accomplish the work that I started in you. Everybody else is still getting it, but man, you have really fouled out, taking it. I'm thankful that it's not based on how we start life, because if it is, I'm doomed. But that's not the case. But at this point in time in my life, fellows, I inhabited this stony wilderness. Lord willing, depending on how many years He has intended for me to be here, get to the place where time, trusting in Him with all my heart, never leaning on my own understanding, acknowledging Him in all my ways, knowing that He's absolutely going to make my path straight, will be much more significant than the time that I made dwelling place. You know? So what does the stuff look like for any one of us? For me, it was drugs and alcohol. It was pornography. It was sex. It was, you know, the list goes on and on. And a bunch of that was while I was saved. A bunch of it. And then that moment where God really got a hold of my heart in circumstances that even Pastor Matt would have said, man, really, this is what did it? Like, it wasn't like these knife wounds, these gunshot wounds. Like, it wasn't like me going into the hospital and seeing my identical twin brother, my only brother, with his head the size of a watermelon. And I know some of this stuff might be hard to hear, but if I were to share what it looked like in this wilderness for me, it wasn't pretty. And I'm not sharing all the graphic details. I really am giving you enough to just see a picture. Because I'll even have some folks will be like, man, you share that with everybody? That's all my life looked like prior to Christ. That's all it looked like. You'll never hear me say, I wish I could be a kid again. You know, there's just a bunch of things. And that's why I think even in this, the Lord had gotten me to that place, you know, to make Him my trust completely. Because I tried trusting in everything else. And it failed me every time. And by it failed me, I did. I placed all my faith and trust in myself. But now what I get to do is go all around the globe and share the good news of our risen Savior who makes His people whole. The Lord just allowed me to go to Costa Rica as an ambassador for Him. Right, and that's the thing, as I think about that, our ambassadorship. Do you guys know how long that is? It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, until God sends His Son back or until He calls each one of us home. This is not a tenure or, to a foreign, those have, that could be 20 years, it could be 10 years. It's throughout every moment of our life. It's throughout every moment of our life. You know? And we're here for a reason and a purpose. And it's not to be spinning wheels, trusting in people, anything of that nature. You know? So I guess, it's not a guess. I know where satisfaction and fulfillment is found. And it's in our Savior, and our Savior alone. You know, to know true peace and true joy in the truest, purest sense of those words. And those things aren't determined by life circumstances, because if they are, then it's not peace, and it's not joy, and it's not satisfaction, it's not fulfillment. But at the end of the day, going, man, Lord, today, nothing I had on the calendar took place, but everything you intended happened. Like in Costa Rica, being able to share with kiddos and drug traffickers, straight up killers, I love sharing with folks like that, because that's part of God's target population. He doesn't wish to see any perish, but for all to come to repentance. I'm thankful that he doesn't count slowness the way that we do. Because of that, I get to share his word with you today and a little bit about what he rescued me from and the life he's given me now. And as I think about these passages, I get to live out both of those examples. One of them he didn't want me to, but I made the intentional, willful, premeditated, thoughtful decision to stay there. It was a choice for me to stay there, and it was a choice for me to go back to that. It was a choice. Maybe God's putting something on your heart today. In this area of life, I know you've been wanting to sanctify this portion, and I've been holding on to it. Let go of it. Let God do his best. Because there's still stuff in me. You know, I can have a thought. I can entertain it, because I'm not going to stand up here in any way, shape, or form and put on this air of perfection. You know what I mean? I'm flawed. Because in Christ, I can still be a fool. And it takes zero effort for me to get there. Like, I don't have to put any effort into it. But that's the amazing thing about his word, right? He sympathizes with all of our weaknesses, was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Because of that, we can come confidently to the throne room of grace, the throne room of unmerited favor, and find and get what we don't deserve, mercy, in our time of need. Our time of need is every second. I think we've spoken about that this morning. David talks about how needy he is. We are needy people. We are needy people. You know, we are needy people. And now I get to live out the life of being a blessed man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. You know, I get to be that tree planted by the water. The way I describe it is when I'm sharing here or overseas, wherever the Lord deems fit to send me, and he sent me all over the globe. Speak in some of the most dangerous prisons, government officials, the Philippines, India, Brazil, Peru, all over the place. And it's all about him and it's all for him, because I got nothing to offer the God of all creation. Everything good, every perfect gift comes from him. And I'm not him, but today I get to serve him and he lets me be a part of what he's doing. He lets me be a part of it. So to be the tree that is firmly rooted next to the river of living water that will never dry up. Always being connected to the vine and being thankful to be a branch that's being nourished by the vine. You know, I'm standing here and it's like, it truly is beyond my understanding. But I know how deceitful the heart can be. I lived it out for a long time. You know, so I don't know. I got some questions to ask you. I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you do not know our Savior, Jesus Christ, through faith in his perfect sacrifice on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection for all your sins. Because it's really important that we use that word sin, because otherwise we minimize the price Christ paid completely. God sent his son to pay the price for all sins. And that's what I get credit for, is called sin. Everything else goes to him. All the glory, all the credit for everything good goes to him. I get credit for sin. So I got to ask you, there's a couple questions. And then I know we're going to work through some questions too, you know, within the tables. But if you would all just bow your heads for a moment. You know, in Romans it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John 14, like we've already shared, Jesus said he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and he is the only way to the Father. And the gospel, the simplicity and the beauty of it, if it's been stumbling people for centuries, How is somebody saved? Well, if you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life, then you will be saved. It's not a might, it's not a maybe, it's a will be saved. So today, if you were invited and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, like Paul, like so many of the others, I'm not beyond begging you to be reconciled to God the Father. So if today you are saying yes and belief on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for all your sins, would you please raise your hand? And if you're here today and you've been doing things your own way, and it doesn't mean that just everything, like it's a huge blowout, that it's just the blowing of the dam, but you've got some stuff that you know God is wanting you to get rid of and lay at his throne. If that's your story here today, and today you want to rededicate your life and lay all that at his feet, would you please raise your hand? Praise God. Yeah, let's go to the throne room right now, fellas. Lord God, we just humbly come before you. I just lift up each one of my brothers here today. Lord, you know what's going on within each of our lives. You are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. You scrutinize our path, and that's all we ever want you to do. And we know that, even the thought of that prayer, I know, can scare people. We shouldn't be scared of it. It should be something that we ask on a daily basis, that you would just continue to sanctify us. We know that you're going to do it. And we desire to be active participants in that. So God, our brothers that have raised their hands this morning, you'd sustain them through every moment, and really for all of us, because we all have stuff. Every single one of us does. There's no exception to that. And we need you every moment. So we're asking you to give us the ability to be those who place our complete trust in you, that you would always be the one who we trust with all of our heart, and that we would never lean on our own understanding, that we acknowledge you in all of our ways, knowing you will make all of our paths straight. And so we ask these things today for your glory and your kingdom, in your Son Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. And so, you know, being able to share with you all here today really is a blessing beyond measure. And my life was really messed up. And it was while I was in control. Because that's the clear picture here, right? If I'm trusting in mankind, if I'm trusting in myself, all I can do is screw things up. I'm going to be about all the things that God sent his Son to pay the price for. But if I'm putting him first and I'm trusting him in every area of life, willing to let go of anything and willing to go through anything, that is where satisfaction and fulfillment is found. And then people can be thankful. You know, I get to be present for my wife. I get to be present for my children. You know, instead of taking my children to the dope house and making them sit in the car, you know, all that stuff's gone. And now I'm blessed to be a part of Be Bold Street Ministries. The Lord has allowed us to see him reconcile over 12,000 people to himself all over the globe. He let us be a part of that. You know, because people are like, man, you're really doing it. No, God is doing it. I got to be really clear there. So I want to encourage y'all, let him do his best, which is beyond what we can even fathom, let alone attempt to comprehend. And please really take these thoughts, take great heed to them. What are you willing to let go of? And what are you willing to go through for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ? Because that's why we're here. And don't put your trust in mankind. Place it all in the Lord. Super thankful to be here. And fellas, let love of the brethren continue. So this is a healthy response. It's a biblical response. I truly, genuinely love each of you. And I'm looking forward to spending all of eternity with you. And it's okay to say that. It's healthy. It's appropriate. It lines up with the word. Right? And it's a Christ-like love, fellas. So we're just being really clear there. All right. Thank you.